Hello everyone, this is Justin.
This is Sean.
And this is The Dot Matrix Podcast number 11.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because now that we're starting the episode, I was saying to Sean as I walked in the door, I said, I haven't seen you since the last podcast, and it just seems like forever.
It does.
And actually, I was kind of worried again because we were doing, and as you can hear a plane go by, or whatever that is, we've got the window open because it's so nice today.
Yeah, like I thought I'd keep a little cool air in here, because it usually gets pretty warm.
I don't know why we're laughing to that, but anyways, it's really not, no point to laugh to that. But anyways,
we need suspenders. We both started like Larry King, like this.
Oh, yeah, leaning forward. Yeah, yeah.
We gotta get a new setup in here. But anyway, go ahead.
But, it's been a while. I haven't seen you since the last podcast, which is usually highly unusual. We usually at least see each other once between podcasts or something, but...
it seems.
But we're going to see each other at least five times within now and the next podcast.
True.
So, and we're going to have to podcast, like, mofos on what we have done in the, between now and the next one, because there's a lot of good stuff. I won't say anything, because we should be a podcast tease. We should actually just...
Yeah, we shouldn't give too much away every time we do this. Otherwise, there's, we need something for our listeners to look forward to.
If you give away the milk, you're not going to want to buy the cow, or whatever this thing is. I tried to say that saying to someone last week, and I totally missaid it, and I think I just missaid it now, so. Anyways, we've got plenty of topics. One thing I will say, and I didn't say this to you until just now, but in the mail today at the office came my BlackBerry.
Oh!
So I actually officially now have my BlackBerry.
You picked a plan?
We have a plan, we have everything, and it's now sitting at home charging. So
Cool. Once
it's all there, I will give you my number, and you can call me my BlackBerry.
And we will broadcast that number on the air. No, it's joking.
Well, all the pretty single women out there can definitely call me, who live in the Vancouver area.
There's many, Justin. Get ready. Get ready for the response.
So, topic number one, and this will lead into your topic around Clinton and the primaries. There is coming up today, actually. Today is the primary,
isn't
it?
Today is the primary, as we speak.
And my topic has to do with Bill Moyers, who we all know and love.
Mm.
And, like, I'm so... You know what I'm thinking about? We're recording this on a Tuesday evening.
Yes.
And actually, I'm wondering whether or not Tuesdays is a better time, because what I found really interesting is and I will get to this later, but I had a chance to listen to the last two Bill Moyers podcasts.
Oh,
I'm halfway through. And
the
like
5 years?
I can't tell you how much I love Bill Moyers. It should be the topic of this podcast, is we love Bill Moyers. And I
sure,
know
yeah,
how many
let's
times
do it.
We talk about him, but he had Jeremiah Wright, Reverend Wright.
Yeah, I heard that one.
And now...
Were you blown away?
I was
what?
Blown away. And I wanted to talk about that because it relates to the primaries. And then actually, and this week is a little bit of follow-up from that, you know, people's reaction. 2,000 emails apparently he got about...
Big topic.
About the interview.
Yeah.
And they had, I think, Barbara Hall Jameson, who comes on quite often.
Yeah.
And sort of analyzed the primaries and the campaign that is going on. And just a real, like... Like, I'm totally, like, in love with this woman because she is such... She dissects what's going on so well.
Mm-hmm.
And she's such a common sense. Like, it makes so much sense, you know? And like, she's, like, the smartest person in the room thinking or observing these primaries.
Right.
And so that was... And that's... I haven't finished listening to it yet, but she's on again. But what I loved... And I was so impressed by the Jeremiah Wright... interview,
yeah,
because they go head on and yeah. it was his first interview since
yeah.
all this controversy
sound bites
and they showed the sound bites. And you know what I loved, which is what you can do in a podcast of an hour long,
yeah.
And which is why I love about what we do,
yeah.
We get at least a half hour to just sort of vet things and talk about things in its full context, is you hear those clips in its full context.
I know, not just the 20 second
when he was saying, you know, not God bless America, but
yeah.
God damn America. I mean, you see all the clips and you think, I mean, it sounds
yeah.
like it's in relation to the war.
It's...
But it's not at all. It's about it's a historical context and it's based on religious text and everything. And,
yeah.
And I think whether or not you believe it or not or you agree with it or not, it's irrelevant. It's the point that the context, when you hear it in the sound clip, is completely not what the context
is. It's
almost,
irrelevant.
And in the context, or the clip about, that he does talk about 9-11,
mm-hmm.
it's a very different clip. And,
oh, totally.
You know, and I just was...
I was amazed.
Like, I so appreciate that. And you know what? And, of course, the next day he goes on to the Washington Press Corps,
yeah.
and goes to a whole, again, kind of very crazy-like, right?
Yeah.
And then so what I loved about, if you listen to the both Bill Moyers from last week and the one that just got posted, he talks about that. He has a whole about 10-minute sort of editorial about,
mm-hmm.
you know, people wonder, like, how can he have such a layered, contextual, really, I think, really brilliant. Like, whether or not you believe the guy, or you or not believe, you agree with the
but
with
it's well
the
thought out.
It's well thought out.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that hour of listening to it.
Because where else would that have come from?
Right. And then you hear next week, after all this, all the clips, you know, they talk,
mm-hmm.
oh, well, so finally Reverend Wright comes out and speaks, you know, and they show him, like, they show a very, like, a 2-second clip of him sitting there on the Bill Moyers Journal.
Yeah.
But they don't hear, you don't hear anything in the clip. And then you go, and then all the news media showing the clip of him being crazy at this
yep.
press conference. And you're like, that is the problem.
It's irresponsible. And I heard that, as an aside to that, Tim Robbins had this talk about how irresponsible the media is being right now. I heard that on another podcast,
right.
Democracy Now.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, you hear all these different 1-hour programs which actually give you the information you need to know, and you have a guy like Tim Robbins that I'm sure most of the media wouldn't report on him other than his movies, but he actually reports on something where he says, you know what, the media only shows the sound bites, they're in there like it's propaganda, they're not being responsible with the reporting, and they're not questioning.
Yeah.
And it's those sound bites that when we're listening to the pastor saying that on Bill Moyers, it's like all you hear is the sound bites, and you never hear that other context. I couldn't believe like how much my own opinion of that was only semi-formulated by the sound bites and all the articles you read. My opinion almost did a complete 180
right.
when I'm listening to this guy in a calm atmosphere,
yep.
in pure discussion.
Yep.
Has anyone else bothered to do that?
And it's such, no, and it's such a testament to really, to Bill Moyers to be able to set the environment where that can happen and
oh,
to ask the right question and to actually
so
listen to the answers.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
you know, and I kept thinking, you know, Reverend Wright should have just done that interview and then that's it. Then no,
he shouldn't have
and
gone
then no
the
one,
next day and yeah.
And then no one has the opportunity to show anything else
yep.
but the Bill Moyers clips. Because
it's the last word.
Yeah, he gave all his other opportunities to do and part of the discussion in the first 10 minutes of the new podcast talks about that. People wonder, like, a lot of people will wonder why he did that, and he's like, I'm not a psychologist, so I can't answer that. But
yeah.
you know, and then
I
he,
heard that, yeah.
Yeah, and then he goes into and so again, Bill Moyers is asking the questions that we, as intelligent people, not just you and I, but in the masses
but the,
of intelligent...
the masses, most people.
You know,
are,
you know, well,
yeah.
we're wondering those things as well.
They
want
to know, they just read those little previews of online articles or
yeah.
the little tidbits on CNN, and they're thinking, what a wacko, like, right off the bat.
Yep.
And it takes someone like Bill Moyers, I can't plug him enough.
We should actually post at his website or something and tell him how much we love him and to our site. Like, he's gonna blush.
It's like kissing ass. But no, like, you're totally right, Dustin. Like, I was amazed, and I haven't heard the follow up yet, and I will.
And
I love how he does those.
And it's an interesting, like, the 10 minutes is talks at length about really some of the issues around race in America, about sort of why does he, as Reverend Wright, as a black pastor, ignite such controversy,
yep.
yet on the other side, and he talks, you know, frankly about white religious figures who are in the extreme right wing
yep.
of America, you know, who are basically saying to assassinate the president of Iran and saying people in New Orleans deserved Katrina or, you know, on,
some
and,
divine
yeah,
intervention or whatever.
All that sort of
right.
stuff. And they're still around, and they're still well politically connected, and people flock for their endorsement while... and he said, well, I mean, you have to listen to it, but I won't, so I won't really spend the time repeating it, but he said in the end, so why does Obama in the end have to disassociate himself with his pastor and yet all the other political in the other spectrum of the other of the in the white quote unquote side doesn't have to. And it's and he asks that question. I mean, he doesn't really quite offer.
It's like rhetorical, but it makes you think.
But it makes you think.
And it's totally true that you bring that up, because even maybe 5 minutes after I finished listening to that first interview, I think, what am I supposed to think now? You know, you hear this man who's given this opportunity to fully explain what he thinks. He's calm. He's not yelling like crazy, and you know. But I think it's like the Howard Dean scream, you know? Like, that's the only time you see someone maybe come down on a white leader of some sort.
Right.
Is when he does a screaming thing. But, you know, and then you have this black pastor who's so passionate. It's like, why are people afraid of passion? You know? It's but when they see Obama be passionate, he doesn't scream. He's a little more, I don't know, smooth about it, I guess you could say.
Well, I think it relates to what we talked about last week, or last podcast, about confrontation. And when you communicate with a flavor of confrontation in your voice or in your intonation, which a lot of, I mean, when you see the sermons or and you hear the clips, there is that sort of a little bit of anger involved in the tone.
Mm-hmm.
And it shuts people down. But if you can take yourself in a context where that isn't there, like the Bill Moyers piece, because because the only alternative is to listen to it with that rage in the voice, and be able, and you have to fight your own personal, you know, reaction to shut down and to say, you know, this guy's crazy,
right?
And you know, and
your own
and,
senses,
you know, and because I think if then most people can't do that. I mean, I would find it very difficult to, it's like, you know, if I was feeling I was being attacked, to not shut down, to be like, you know,
I think,
not gonna listen.
I think you're right, and it's hard for me, and I think it's something people work on all their lives. I think it's something in Obama's position that he's been taught how to do that, and he's been practicing, you know what I mean? Like, you can't, I mean, you can have a pastor, because that's what he does, he gets people riled up, and he says his thing, and da-da-da, and people lets it. If you're in his church, it's okay. Like, people can kind of see his spin on events. But especially, like, the things about 9/11 and when you read or hear or watch his full-on speech on how the government's conducting itself. Like, I couldn't help but agree with so many facets of what he was talking about. Like, the literal war crimes that the U.S. government is conducting, and and how can you go against that?
See, and that's the point. Like when you have that little context, that the you know the chickens coming home to roost, and you only hear that, like you're gonna you're gonna shut down like crazy.
Yeah.
But if you hear, like you said, that whole context, it's about government and policies, and not anti-American, but about American policy, which is, I think a lot of academics probably could make the same argument in a different environment and would be like, oh, you know, you'd hear it. And again, whether or not you agree or don't agree, it is not, it is unfair to characterize that whole speech as saying, oh, some crazy dude's talking about chickens coming home to roost and how dare you, you know.
Yeah.
But it's from beginning to end, it's a thoughtful piece of conscious deliberation on getting from your original word to your last word in a whole is a good it's a sound argument to make, and whether or not you agree with it or not, it's a sound argument.
And there's nothing wrong with it. And then, you know, you hear that interview, and then the next day you see his picture, profile picture on CNN again, and you think, oh, he's wacko. Like you go back and forth. Like, they vilify him like the next day. They always take the worst parts, and it just goes back to that responsibility issue that the media and the press, it's like, for some reason with the States, and more or less up here, but way more down there, it's, they have this problem with people looking like they're not patriotic for asking questions. It's like, you still hear about, they still ask Obama, why don't you wear the flag lapel pin or whatever, you know? It's just like,
oh, they made fun of that on the Daily Show or Colbert Report. I can't remember which one it was, but they had, when they showed the Pope who came to the States, and they were saying, how can you trust a man who doesn't wear the American show on the Pope's lapel? It's not there.
They showed a picture of the Pope standing next to Cheney, you know, and I was like, wow, they're the same height. They both have the same white hair. If anything, if you just threw a suit on the Pope, or if you threw, like, some weird garment on Cheney, you wouldn't even be able to tell the difference. Take his glasses off. What I was like, this is too close. Like, why is he hanging out with those kind of guys? Like, the Pope should be doing his ceremonies in the street with all those people, but he shouldn't be so tight with government, especially corrupt government officials. Anyway, that's my... I won't go on with that.
Well, speaking of U.S. politics, your topic of today.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, today, it's one that I thought I'd bring up just because it's happening literally now.
Right. I'm sorry, I just saw your next topic. Like, I knew we were going to talk about that. So I'm looking at his list. But anyways, let's not jump the gun. It's happening today.
Today is the... another big primary for the Democrats.
No, it's North Carolina, or is it?
North Carolina.
And what's the other one?
And Indiana.
Indiana.
And the thing with that I've noticed so far, that I was kind of checking on this today, was that already Obama's won North Carolina 60% to 38%. For
is it a caucus, or is it an actual primary?
These are primaries.
Primaries, okay.
And... not only that, a third, and I don't want to bring up the race thing, but we've already gone into it, so I'll bring it up again. But people happen to mention online that a third of the voters are black in North Carolina. So,
okay.
Something interesting there. The other race is in Indiana. Clinton's actually leading 53% to 47%.
Okay.
However, that one's not over, and I think there's... If well, see, that's just it.
Well, they're going to split anyways.
She needs Indiana to stay in the race. If she loses that, that's it. It's Obama. That's what they're saying.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So, or what needs to happen, I think, is these superdelegates need to come out and just start saying, we want Hillary. They don't do that. Whoever these people are, then I think there are other governors and all this kind of
stuff. Yeah, they're, like, anyone who's been elected a Democrat... either a senator, congressperson, or governor, like, they all are superdelegates.
The big guns.
Yeah, and then other party officials or something.
So I think it, you know, this could be it tonight, and I was...
Oh, God, they always say that. It's not it.
You
it's
know
gonna,
what?
It's gonna go the way all the way to, like,
but
June.
I was gonna ask you this, though. Like, okay, June. So what happens in June? Because isn't the convention in August? They have to know before the convention...
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure.
Because
I thought it was decided
at the convention, no?
Yeah. Well, I mean, typically, from my understanding, is that usually you don't have such a tight race.
Oh,
and so
totally.
You know way beforehand.
Yeah.
Like McCain, right? He's
yeah.
going to be nominee. But it isn't officially made until everyone comes to the convention and actually votes, right? So
they could all turn on him if they wanted to.
Yeah, I mean when you do these primaries, you vote to determine... how many delegates... well, you already know how many delegates will come from each state.
Yeah.
But then you'll know how many are going to be pledged to Clinton and pledged to Obama.
Yeah.
And typically what, from my understanding, is you are bound by that for your first vote,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's why McCain, like, everyone's bound to vote McCain, who's going to vote McCain, and so he's going to get the nomination in the first round.
Right.
But because it's so close, and there's a whole bunch of Edwards-pledged delegates... right? Because he still won.
He got some,
because
yeah.
it wasn't all winner-take-all. A lot of it was proportional, so Edwards maybe came in second in some primaries, so picked up some delegates, right?
Could he come back in the convention and say, I want to...
No, I don't think... because he's dropped out, so, I mean, I don't think he
so
can come
it.
Back, but
yeah.
he can sway who his votes go to in the second round, right?
I mean, I've seen
at least from my understanding of how it works.
I saw an interview with his wife, who, thankfully, is doing really well from her...
also on the
Bill
Moyers podcast,
oh,
they talk about it.
Oh,
God. Oh, you gotta watch.
You know, I can't help but like her. I like anything she's talked about. She's big on the health insurance problem in the States that Michael Moore kind of highlighted, too.
Right.
I think that she's really smart. And sorry, I had a point to this. Oh, and they kept asking her, oh, who are you and your husband going to endorse? And they kept saying, no, we're not going to decide right now. Da-da. You know they're going to come out during the convention. and they're gonna say who they want.
Again, another topic from what I on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Really? Okay. Yeah. Oh my goodness, I can't believe I haven't listened to these yet. But
I think that's a required listening before we chat, because we have to debrief on their podcast. I swear.
Oh, it's like okay. Well, we should make that the thing every time. But so, that was pretty much it. We'll
see. Speaking
about
women you're impressed with.
Oh,
go back to your next topic.
Okay. Well, I read today that Scarlett Johansson is engaged.
Yes.
To Ryan Reynolds.
Well, that guy gets engaged how many times?
Well, I was going to say, how many, Alanis Morissette, I don't know, maybe there was more before that. I don't know.
I don't know either, but I just know it's her, and now, I mean, it's interesting, like, Alanis Morissette and Scarlett Johansson, although they are both well-known in the entertainment field, they're kind of very different people.
So different. She's much older.
Yes.
And Scarlett's 23, and I think I read that he's
31.
31?
Yes.
Okay, so 31. He's asked this young lady to marry him. And I don't know why even this is a big deal, because usually I don't... Well, I'd be lying if I say I didn't care about celebrity gossip, but... I find it interesting because it's amusing, but I bring it up because who doesn't love Scarlett Johansson, okay? Like, come on. She's beautiful, she's... talented. Well, I think she is. I've heard other people say that they don't really think she's a great actress. I think she's awesome. But anyway, she's marrying this guy, 23 years old, Justin. I mean, seriously, do you think this is something that someone in her position should be doing? Young, famous Hollywood actress that hopefully will be getting better and better roles, get married to an older guy like that, so young. I mean... Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Phillippe couldn't even do it, and they're like the same age. So what's going on here?
You know, I really have no idea. And although I was tickled to hear the news, because it's a tickle. I read some of the entertainment news as well, because it tickles me in general.
Because obviously I don't really give a shit, but...
Yes.
In actuality.
But I haven't given much thought to it because I was more... enthralled with, like, the lawyers but, and his podcast. But, you know, I think in general, if you want to talk in more general terms, 23 and getting married, especially, like, there is... 23 and 31 is a huge... I mean, it's not that much in years, but it could be very big in terms of where your life wants to go, right?
Well, that's just it.
But the only problem is that works in life. But Hollywood is not life. You know, like... How much of a life has Scarlett Johansson already lived in her 23 years?
Oh,
you know, probably more than I have at 31.
Yeah.
You know, and
oh, yeah.
So it's...
We're 31.
It's like, it's almost hard to put on real life lens, on a real life lens on this situation, because you can't, you know, like...
Well, he's from BC, right? Or Vancouver, or Burnaby, or something? Like,
I know he's Canadian, but I have no idea where he's from, though. I didn't think he was from BC. I thought it was, like, Ontario or something.
Oh, maybe it's Ontario. Because I was thinking, damn, if he was from BC and he has family here, then maybe...
So you'll be a paparazzi?
Yeah. Maybe we'd actually bump into her this time, but... But anyway, enough of that. That was a little...
But it was very nice of you to be suave about the whole Scarlett thing, although I know inside you're a big fan. And I'm a fan, too. I really do appreciate her work and appreciate her beauty as well.
Exactly. Like, if she does more roles like Lost in Translation or, like, maybe more independent sort of kind of roles, not like The Island, like, no more Michael Bay shit, like... Or that kind of stuff, you know what I mean?
Unless she's in Transformers 2.
Oh,
we disagree
no.
on the Transformers movies, that's for sure.
Yes.
Then a few other things,
that,
which we won't get into, because that's too inside joke. But
what's your next topic?
My next topic was, you know, and I was going to talk about one thing in particular, but that's so outdated now, it's not a big deal. Mm. But what I thought was really interesting is, and which is, again, why I was thinking, you know, maybe we should do Tuesdays and not Mondays, for podcasts, is because on Monday nights on Knowledge Network, which is a local television station here in at least Vancouver, I don't even know where else it is.
Or mainland, I guess, yeah.
They're showing a series called E Squared.
Okay.
And you're like, oh.
Can't say I've seen it. No cable.
Well, and it's narrated by Brad Pitt, and
okay.
I mean, none of that provides credibility of any kind, but...
Street cred.
Yeah, but... And it's about sustainability and environmental and economics, and it's a and it's actually a PBS series. Of course, it's a PBS series. Like, I've never seen it on PBS. I've only seen it on Channel 5, the Knowledge Network. And there is a website, e2-series.com, and we'll link to it.
Okay.
And it's been really fascinating. Like, I watched one episode a few weeks ago about a guy who takes slabs of concrete that are used when you're building a bridge or building a highway or building, like the subway line that, you know, like the cut and cover.
Yeah.
You have to create all these concrete frames, and then eventually all they do there is temporary frames so you can borrow through the ground and create the tunnel and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then that after that, those pieces are discarded. And a guy was taking that and recycling it into homes.
Perfect.
Like,
so it's like an E, like...
environmental,
like green.
You know, a kind of a green series, yeah.
Okay, cool.
But it's very much about architecture, and the one recently was about a federal building that was just created in, or built in San Francisco.
Cool.
And about sort of the sustainability of it, and some, the criticisms about it and everything. And it's just such a fascinating... series that I really highly recommend, and
awesome.
and if you do search on iTunes, it is there actually. You can get download
like
some
a video podcast.
Yes, you can download some video podcasts,
nice.
And on their website you can stream some of the videos actually.
Awesome.
And I was just fascinated, and it made me think about, like, and it relates back to a topic, which is why I have been having this thing on my list for a couple of weeks, a couple of podcasts in a row, but we just never got around to it. But I do want to talk about it. Is just passion and excitement. We talked about it a number of weeks ago, And I would think if I was not working in the field that I work in, I think I probably would love to go back and, like, I remember in high school or junior high, I was thinking about being an architect, and that's what I wanted to do. And then I discovered physics and how horribly difficult physics is.
Oh, yes.
And I figure if I can't figure out physics, then how am I gonna design a building that won't fall down, right?
I don't even know what physics means.
Yeah,
can't
exactly.
Say I couldn't tell you anything about physics.
And so, like, so I abandoned those ideas, and I just said, forget it, I can't do that, like, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
But I am fascinated. I love buildings, I love structures, and I love, you know, where they are and how they
that
look.
That falls into your urban planning kind
of
thinking anyway.
Well, exactly, and I thought about urban planning, but more on the social planning side as opposed to the urban side now, or the building side.
Mm-hmm.
But though I still love the building side,
mm-hmm.
and it really... brought back to me when I was thinking, watching the series, of being so interested, and I've got a friend who you know, a mutual friend who's going into architecture school next year in Calgary,
right?
And I'm so, like, proud of her to be able to do that, and at the same time, very, you know, like I'm just gonna, like, live vicariously through her as she goes through it, kind of thing. But I just it sort of really brought me back to, like, when the last time I really loved something, it was so into something, and that passion about something, and that kind of was back in high school, and as you get older, and part of this topic relates back to my year-long quest to discover myself around relationships,
right?
But, like, it reminds me again about that passion, and that, you know, in high school, I did get really excited about stuff.
Yeah.
And architecture was one of them. And I still have a little bit of an interest to it. And I love watching these kind of things. And I was, like, in the book warehouse the other day. And I was looking through all these architecture books. And I was like, oh, I want to get
so
this one just
it,
for
huh?
my coffee table. You know,
yeah,
just to sit there,
yeah.
You know?
Well, that's like me and my Monet books, right?
Right.
Like, I'm not a... I tried painting, and I'll probably try taking it up again. But I, you know, I've painted a couple things. But I don't have any technique to speak of. But... I just love paintings, and I like looking at them at museums, and I have, like, 10 Impressionist or old Renaissance art books that I just love to have, just to flip through.
Yeah.
It's that same thing. I know
where
you're coming from.
And just to close out the topic, I mean, going from a program on architecture to what was sort of an impetus to my thinking around architecture to passion and to still trying to find something in life now. I mean, I get really excited about certain things in my life, but I don't have a sustained passion and just thrill of something anymore, whether or not that's women or a particular woman or a topic or whatever, right?
Right.
Although we get very animated talking about the things we talk about.
Yes.
But
because we're social commentators.
Yes, that's right. But there was a quote in Knocked Up, which I finally saw a couple of weeks ago.
It's so good, huh?
I laughed so hard. It was so funny. And it was... It was the main guy character and Paul Rudd. Yeah, you know, he was the husband who was, like, this really sad husband,
yeah.
right? And they're sitting there in the playground watching their watching Paul Rudd's two daughters in the movie just running around the playground blowing bubbles, right? Mm-hmm. I forget the main character's name in Knocked Up, but you know, the guy. Mm-hmm. And it was like Seth Rogen. He's sitting there going, God, your kid's going apeshit over bubbles. You know? Oh, they love bubbles, right? And then Paul Rudd says something in his deadpan, because he's like a very depressed and lost all of his passion as an older man, saying, you know, yeah, I wish I could love anything as much as my kids love bubbles.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
just that one phrase,
one line, yeah,
really just exemplifies what happens to so many of us over the years as you get older. You lose the real excitement. I mean, you can be inspired by a lot of things and whatever, but to just purely excited and have that pure joy about
just
something,
motivated by it. Yeah.
Yeah, like it doesn't happen there often anymore, and people strive for it as you get older.
Yeah,
but
I think it's cool though, because for you, like, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, people are always learning new things now, like older and older, and I think it's just cool, like, the opportunities are afforded to us now that, you know, like, that people our age, like 20, 30 years ago, wouldn't dream of trying or investigating, you know,
right,
what I mean? So I think, you know, I share what you share about that, and sometimes, like, that's like when I keep going on about The Con, Tegan and Sarah, when that record came out and I listened to it over and over again, that album excited me more than any new record that has come out in years. Because I forgot how it felt to be excited and moved by a new music. Because there's so much mediocrity now in the music industry, I find.
Right.
And I think others would agree that when a new record comes out, even with the band I like and I listen to regularly, I'm like, it's the new record.
Right.
But when I heard this, I was like, this reminded me of when I was a kid and the new this or the new that would come out, and I'd race to the store and buy it. I'd come back and I'd play it like 10 times in a row. That just doesn't happen anymore. Maybe it's because of our easy access to so much new stuff all the time.
Right.
It's like, oh, I got a new record the other day. Okay, I'll probably listen to it at some point. You know? And that kind of relates, I think, to what you're talking about. I totally get what you're saying there.
I think, I think you just have to, when you find those moments where you recapture it, whether it's The Con or it's the, you know, E-Squared program that I've been watching or whatever, like, you just have to, you shouldn't be afraid, like, I find myself being afraid of it, not afraid of it,
but sort of like,
I really, like, I gotta play it cool. And,
I know.
Like, forget about it, just enjoy it and enjoy the ride, you know what I mean? Like,
well, exactly. I think there's this feeling out there that enthusiasm is to be frowned upon, or it's not cool to be enthused.
Right.
And I could list numerous examples of people have looked down on me for that.
Well, when you think about people who are really passionate about politics, they're labeled a loser. And I label people a loser because I'm like, you know, because, like, oh gosh, you know, really? You're into politics? Like, you know, like, or you're like, card-carrying young liberal or young,
right.
Andy,
like we are,
like, you know, like, I would never consider that for myself.
No.
And partly because maybe what it is you know that the reaction happens a lot, and so why would I show passion for something that someone's going to just knock down in the end?
Mm.
And, you know, for politics, for me, I've determined I don't think it's worth it to be that excited about it, because the system is, for me, broken, because it's about winning and losing, and we've talked about this before, right?
That's right.
So I guess when it comes to other things, like, oh, you know, should I really get excited about architecture? Should I allow myself to do that? Is it cool enough, or is it warranted, you know,
more
than excitement? I mean, you made that same evaluation for politics, so why wouldn't you make it for, you know, architecture, the latest, or a woman I met, X place or Y place, or, you know, like, it relates to everything.
Yeah,
know?
Absolutely. There's no boundaries to it. And that goes against things I've said. Like, when I think, why do people put so much time and energy into their car?
Right, yeah, same thing. I have the same question.
And I ask that every time I see someone with a noisy, souped-up car. Then I think, well, wait a second. I know people who do that. And I don't rag on them for doing it. So I was like, who the hell am I? You know, but then, I mean, there's limits to that, of course.
Right.
But if people are kind and they're not hurting anyone.
And if they're living a passion and embracing a passion, we should, like, I want to make a commitment to myself, but also to others. Like, I don't want to stifle other people's passion or my own, you know, which
people
is kind of interesting.
People are doing a lot of stifling, and I think we do self-stifling. And it's time to unlock all that stuff.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Oh, so we're at 35 minutes, and I mean, I know you had one last topic on your thing, and we're over anyways. Is it a fast one, or is it a slow one? Or
you know what? I think...
Or you want to save it? Or?
I think I'll save it, because I think it might be old news next time, because no matter what it is, things get old so quickly, no matter how important it is. I think I'll save it, because I think we ended on a good note there.
Good.
And I'll just say, do yoga. Actually, I was going to say that to you. I'll say this quickly.
Sweaty yoga?
No, it doesn't have to be a sweaty yoga.
Really?
I recommend anyone do yoga. Something I try to do as much as I can, even though it's hard to face doing it all the time, like any other exercise. But when you hurt your back, your lower back, I believe.
Yes.
What I find is, even after a day of not sitting in a chair properly, when I do yoga after, which some of the moves stretch my back, it totally helps. I was going to, on the air, recommend that to you, Justin. Let's do yoga together sometime. If you're into it, give it some thought.
Okay.
Food for thought, yoga. There you go.
That
might help. Well, instead of the constant painkillers and so on.
Yes, I had to take, I had to pop two painkillers yesterday because I was on the ground installing four baby gates at my brother's place. I got up and I'm sitting on the floor and I was like,
Oh no. It's like, oh, there goes Uncle Justin again.
It's worth it. You know, you'd be helpful, you know. But anyways.
Absolutely.
But yeah, yoga. Okay. So if we do it, we should do a whole issue about, a podcast about the experience.
Yes. Maybe we'll fit a class in between now and next podcast.
Maybe. You know, like we can do drop-ins, right? Like just go
for
the...
You can come with me anytime at the gym.
Oh, I need special Lululemon clothing. I mean, of course I got Lululemon clothing, but, you know, but I don't have, like, do you need anything special? Or can
nope.
I just...
Well, they design shit for that,
do you have special clothes, or do you just...
Oh, no. I used to wear those shirts that, you know, soccer players wear or whatever, like tennis shirts or whatever.
Yeah.
But I find I'm most comfortable just in my t-shirt and shorts.
Well, I'd come out to a course out here, a class out here as opposed to out on the west side, which I would have to dress up for.
You, not only that, but we'd have to take out a loan to afford it. So, in this case, over here, it's free.
Nice.
On the east side. Anyway, I think
we'll
end
perfect.
It there.
Yep.
Thanks, Justin.
Well, thank you, Sean.
And thanks, everyone, for listening. Do check out our Facebook, The Dot Matrix. I guess it's a group.
Yes.
And
or thedotmatrix.com.
Or .com. We will maybe... work on getting some more pictures up there.
Oh, gosh, yes. Thanks for the subtle hint. I've been so delayed on that. That's my fault.
No, that's okay. I mean, I want to actively look for ways to make it look the best we can. So, but the important thing is the listening. And check out Bill Moore's podcast, of course.
Yes.
Available on iTunes and I'm sure the PBS website. So.
So I'll sign up by saying congratulations, Ryan and Scarlett.
Yes. Yes. I hope it lasts.
Perfect. See you guys next time.
Bye.